Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Well, Curtis stole my thunder by already wishing you Happy New Year. Because that's how I was going to start my sermon today, Curtis, but that's okay. Happy New Year. Yes, our church year begins anew today with the first Sunday in Advent. And very much like New Year's calendar New Year's, this is a time of anticipation and expectation. You know, I've always found that the beginning of the new year is an energizing time. It's energizing because you're anticipating a new year, things are uncertain, but you're hopeful, and there is expectation that the next year, that the best is yet to come. Perhaps we have put things off that we're going to start anew, or things that we've longed to begin. We have a new opportunity for that. It's kind of like that wonderful cosmic do-over every year. Anticipation and expectation can bring a lot of hope. Now, we think of those who are waiting for a child to be born. There is hope. We can think of that child later on in their life. What is more hopeful than a child on Christmas Eve? Or an engaged couple waiting for their wedding day? Maybe for some of us it was that graduate waiting for graduation, or the birth of a child, or a first job, or that long-awaited cruise. Can I get an amen, Schobergs? These times of expectation and anticipation bring hopes and dreams and foster an energy and excitement within us. But the thing is, anticipation and expectation can also bring frustration, fear, and apprehension. Perhaps you're waiting on a medical diagnosis or longing for an elusive new job. Maybe you're anticipating a tense gathering with friends or family, or wondering if you'll have enough money to make it through the month. Maybe you're preparing for an extended deployment overseas, or you're walking onto a mental health floor to see a loved one. You see, moments of anticipation and expectation foster energy, yes. Hope, of course, but also it can be an unsettling energy of concern. Still, while the world around us has already moved into Christmas mode, we in the church are asked to wait. We do this as a Christian discipline. And we do it as a reminder that amidst whatever apprehension we may experience, there is always hope. You see, the Advent season paradoxically serves a dual purpose. It expects the second coming of Jesus while we are also expecting and participating in the celebration of His birth. It is both and. Both an end-time promise and a meantime reality. And it is amidst this kind of paradox that the season of Advent, I think, is at its most alluring. We are both end-time people with one eye focused on the future fulfillment of Jesus' kingdom. And we are also meantime people with one eye on the grocery list, the newspaper, and the pre-Christmas sales. And if we are honest, both eyes generally move toward meantime issues, I suspect, and perhaps naturally so. For most of us, the daily personal concerns and struggles of life and faith leave little room for contemplating the second coming of Jesus, except perhaps when we roll our eyes at apocalyptic street preachers. Yet Jesus' words today remind us to be alert and to be on guard so that our hearts are not weighed down. And oh, how our hearts can become weighed down. Uncertainty runs rampant these days. Inside our political system, amidst world affairs, among deep divisions within our society, in our personal struggles and health issues, within our churches, and in our local communities. There's a gnawing anxiety that I feel that surrounds us. And we can find ourselves on edge and not very concerned about being alert or keeping awake for what God is up to. However, this is a shame, because Advent shares a message that is exactly what we need, I believe, brothers and sisters, in anxious times. We need look no further than our lesson from Jeremiah to hear sustaining words of hope and promise. Jeremiah reads, "The days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise I made to Israel. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety." Brothers and sisters, these words, as we Christians interpret them, speak of Jesus, of the line of David, the anticipated and expected Messiah. Yet what is so poignant and powerful about Jeremiah's words is this, is that it was Jeremiah who was speaking them and when he spoke them to the people. Jeremiah, you see, spends the vast majority of his time in his book. If you've ever read the book of Jeremiah, he spends the vast majority of his time chastising the people, chastising them for their unfaithfulness, and he anticipates and expects their eventual downfall, and that downfall comes. And the people are taken away into exile. They are defeated. And the people now must wrestle with their sin and shame, the sin that Jeremiah continually reminded them of, and they begin to doubt their God. Yet notice what Jeremiah does not do. He does not stand before the people and say, "Well, I told you so. You've gotten what you deserve." No, he now becomes the arbiter of hope. He comforts the people whom he previously condemned. Amidst national and cultural calamity, Jeremiah offers balm for their wounds. He reminds the people, amidst their shame, sorrow, and suffering, that Yahweh, their God, will be faithful to them. Jeremiah reminds the people that God will restore them and remain their God. And what Jeremiah anticipates and expects happens. The people do return from exile as a renewed and re-energized people of faith. Jeremiah reminded them, as he reminds us today, that ours is the God who promises reconciliation and hope always. Always, especially when things look their bleakest. Because of what God has done, because of who God promises to be, you and I can dare to trust that the kingdom of God reigns as fully in the here and now as it will in the hereafter. And to be sure, we trust that Christ will come again in fullness and glory. And it is this end time promise of grace for us and for our world that allows us to have a meantime response of faith. You see, brothers and sisters, we can dare to trust that Christ will and does come among us now. As meantime people living with an end time promise, we can dare to believe that God can bring peace in the midst of war. That whatever it is that is broken in your life right now, God can heal this. That whatever is a sense of darkness in your life right now, that God can and will bring light. Wherever you may feel hopelessness in your life right now, God can bring hope. And wherever relationships or faith is broken or shattered, God can reconcile and renew. That is the end time promise for our meantime lives. when Jesus says, be alert, brothers and sisters, don't hear this as threat. Instead, hear it as a call. A life-giving and life-changing call to faithful and tenacious patience. Faithful and tenacious waiting. Faithful and tenacious trust in the God who promises fidelity to you always. So be alert, brothers and sisters. As love, God's love, reconciles and renews lives around us now. Be alert as light shines amidst the darknesses in our world now. Be alert to where God's hope invades sadness now. Be alert for when peace transforms hearts and minds now. Be alert to what God is up to now. We may not know, brothers and sisters, what that future holds, but we can dare to trust who holds that future. So walk with eyes wide open into this new year. And be alert. For make no mistake, graciously, prayerfully, thankfully, tenaciously, Jesus is coming. In His name we pray. Amen.